When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit aaccfoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Well, thanks, Jim. I am that Dr. Tim Clinton. My guest today, you know her well. She's one of our favorites, Shanti Feldhahn. She's a Christian author who's sold more than 2 million copies of her books in 23 languages worldwide. She's also a social researcher who has a new project out called Surprising Hope. What a perfect project for this new year. Shanti combines scientific research, biblical principles, and practical wisdom to help people thrive in their relationships, to build stronger marriages, families, and more. Let's go there now. Shanti, what a delight to have you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely.
Hey, Shanti, for those who don't know you, I introduced you, but tell a little bit about yourself and how you really got involved in kind of social research and these projects that have been amazing to help people in their relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not anything I ever expected to be doing. After I got my graduate degree, I ended up working on Wall Street for a number of years. And it's really interesting how, you know, God does this right-hand turn where you realize you're getting your skills for a different reason than you thought. So I ended up being kind of thrust into this world of social research and the goal, the calling I feel like I have using this analytical background is to really dig out the things that help people thrive in their lives, in their relationships, those little things that they don't know matter.
Shanti, you're always researching the little things, by the way, that make a big difference. Give an example of something that you've found that really matters in marriage, in our love and relationships.
Okay. I got a good one. So a number of years ago, one of the things that we had been digging into, you know, the whole love and respect thing. And so I was like, let me look at the data on this. Like, what does it look like? And one of the things we found is that it's very, very misunderstood by both people, the insecurities that are kind of running under the surface that actually act like raw nerves. And you can hit your spouse's like raw nerve and really hurt their feelings without realizing it. And so one of the examples that we often give where I, you know, Jeff and I do marriage events and we see the people in the audience go, what? Is that, for example, you men, you look so confident in yourself and we don't realize that under the surface, there is all this self-doubt about whether you're any good at what you do as a husband or a father or in your job or whatever. And we don't see it. And so we can be like, well, why did you do such and such? And not realize that there's actually sometimes a bit of a painful challenge that's felt. And if you flip it and instead find things to say thank you for, we found that telling a man thank you has the same emotional impact on him that I love you does for a wife.
I love that, Shanti. Yeah, interesting. A few years back, I had a discussion about the things he never talks about. Mm. And I found that, you know, you are right. We don't talk a lot about how we're doing as a dad. We don't talk a lot about how our relationship with God is, maybe how our love life is. But we think about it. We think about it every day. Wonder about how we really are doing. You know, men live in this pressure cooker world. High comparison, dog eat dog, and you grow up never wanting to show your weakness because if you show a weakness, what? Somebody's going to take that opportunity and crush you for it. It's what they're going to do. And so interesting you pulled in, but at the end of the day, Shanti, it's interesting as men age, they don't move away from relationships. They begin moving toward relationships.
Yes. And one of the things that often happens over time is that we kind of both, whether it's the man or the woman, because all of these things affect all of us to some degree, right? But one of the things that often happens is that we've kind of, by the time we hit like 20 or 30 years of marriage, many people have maybe found some of this out the hard way. And one of the things that often happens, and you see the statistics on this, is that, and this is not just my research, this is all over, is that often relationships are growing much closer because both parties, even when things are hard and hurting, both people really care about each other. And we're both trying really hard. And because maybe we don't know some of these things early on, we're trying hard in the wrong areas and we're missing each other or we're hurting each other and we really don't intend to. So maybe by the time you get a little further on, once you learn some of these things, you're trying hard in the right areas. And it makes a huge difference.
Shanti, over the last few years, I think everyone would agree that it's been a pretty tough go. People have had a hard time. It's been a beatdown, really. And it was only kind of intuitive that people would begin struggling with mental health disorders at a whole nother level. Interesting, in that transition, we've seen major increases in fear and anxiety. We've seen an increase in depression, in suicidality, especially among our younger generations. Shanti, it's got our attention. I know a lot of people don't talk about it, but it's something that it's really important. I think mental health has become one of, if not the greatest challenge facing the church and the global community for the next 5 to 10 years. And I know this, you have been working on kind of a new 4-year research project around mental health. That involves a couple of books, I think a lot of people. Let's jump in that direction, Shanti, because I think this is what, if there's a relationship piece, this is a big one right here. We've got to have this conversation.
Yeah, we do. And I am so grateful to be able to jump into this. This is, and I should tell everybody, we're in the middle of the research right now. We've got a bunch of data. We're still looking for a bunch of data. And the books are coming out. One of them is being launched at your World Conference. At the AACC World Conference in September of 2025. And the other one will be launching about a year later. But it's really trying to approach the issue of mental health from two different directions. Because candidly, one of the things that we talk to so many pastors and counselors and leaders who say the church really has an opportunity to kind of step in and be a key solution to the mental health crisis. This is a role that the church has always had, and maybe pastors or counselors, they're not sure what that looks like. And so we've done this big survey of the leaders and are giving some ideas of what that is looking like. And also then the second project, though, we all have these issues. I mean, I have anxiety issues from various things that I didn't even realize I had. And I have to have some ownership and figure out, what do I do in order, if we're looking at the little things that make a big difference, okay, what are the little things that make a big difference in our own mental health?
What's interesting about mental health, Shanti, is it's that invisible kind of issue. You don't really see it on the surface per se, but man, internally, it's a war. You know that? And I love recent conversations we've had, even here on the broadcast, about what's happening in the mind, rumination, and so many different things, and the inability to turn that off, that switch off. And what it starts doing is it starts consuming people and devouring them. When we talk about a mental health crisis, Shanti, I call it a mental health disaster. I think we're beyond a crisis. We're in absolute chaos.
Tim, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And what does that mean to you?
So I'll give you an example of what that means. And this is the reason, honestly, that we wrote the book. Okay. At its very core, and when I say we, Dr. Jim Sells of Regent University and I are doing the book for leaders, because he's a clinical psychologist and I talk to a lot of pastors. And so the technical reason why there is a crisis, ultimately, if you break it down to, you know, the very most basic level, honestly, it's a supply and demand problem. There's far, far more mental health needs today and not nearly enough people to help. And so you've got tons of anxiety that's just been rising, rates of depression that have been rising, trauma, et cetera, like you were talking about. And we can talk about some of the reasons for that. But the rate of the number of counselors out there and the number of pastors that have time to see extra people, it has not kept up anywhere close. So, for example, I'll just give you one statistic. Right now, about 40 million Americans, really big number, have clinically significant anxiety. Okay, so that kind of worry, that tenseness, like really significant. This is not just I'm slightly worried about the grade I'm going to get on my test. This is clinically significant. So about 40 million Americans, only 15 million of them are actually getting help for that. There just aren't enough counselors, and especially in the Christian community where you want maybe a Christian counselor, we're just not anywhere close to being able to address that. So that leaves 25 million people who don't know who to talk to or how to afford to talk to somebody. That's more than the state of Florida.
So Shanti, what you're saying then is, make sure and clarify this, clinically diagnosable anxiety issues, 40 million. In other words, it impacts their daily living in some way.
Correct.
It brings impairment, if you will. It does something to take away from how they live.
One of, you know, for any counselor out there, you know this way better than I do. One of the things that is required for something to be clinically significant is for it to have impairment and distress, right? Like to have something that gets in the way of their functioning and for it to be causing issues in their life. Like they don't want this. And this is one of the reasons, if you look at that gap between the need and the people available to need it, oh, that's an opportunity for the church to step in. This is what the local church is called to do. This is what we're built for. This is why one of the reasons Jesus said, you know, what we're supposed to be doing with our life and our faith. And so that's one of the things we're super excited about, is that if we start seeing this as, oh my goodness, this is an opportunity to reach people with the gospel. This is an opportunity to care for our community, to care for the people in our church. This is an opportunity for discipleship, for people in the church to go, I don't need to be a trained psychiatrist to sit down with a cup of coffee and ask how my friend is doing because she lost her mom and she's just having a hard time getting over the grief. Like, one of the things that I love that Jim says in the book, here's this, you know, highly, highly trained clinical psychologist. He's been doing this for 35 years, very high level. And he's like, look, one of the best counselors I've ever known in my life was my grandmother. She had an eighth grade education, a kitchen table, a Bible, and a coffee pot.
We call them coffee cup counselors.
There you go.
So, yes. So if we're stepping back for a moment, we're talking about diagnosable issues. In other words, we have a crisis. We have a disaster going on. People need help. There's a massive gap between those who need help and those who provide help. Shanti, what you're saying is you, in this understanding, this growing understanding of how to help, we're learning that people at various levels can provide help at various levels. In other words, you obviously can't go to a lay counselor and get medicine if you need medicine. So, but the community of care piece is what we're talking about. So we're saying, listen, we're encouraging people to understand a little bit about this helping process that's going on and how you can be of help. That's why Jim's grandmother became significant. I have five sisters, Shanti, and my mother was a very strong, strong woman of God, who, by the way, loved God's word, could teach it like no one I've ever met in my whole life. And then my wife, Julie, and my daughter, Megan, my daughter-in-law, Evelyn, I mean, they all have something to say. They're all medical providers, too. But what you're saying is if we come together in community, we can help deal with this lack of understanding about, for example, what's happening with those who are suffering from anxiety-related issues or disorders, and begin to step into that world in a helpful way.
Yes. And because I know that there are probably counselors out there who are highly trained and like yelling right now going, but what about, you know, and listen, I have an incredible amount of respect for some of the concerns of, but can't you do damage? You know, can't a lay person do damage stepping into a space they have no business stepping into? Isn't there a risk of that? Well, of course there is. I mean, like, just like a small group leader could say something damaging. I mean, this is the reason, one of the reasons why we say, let's think of this in just the same way that you think of every other ministry in your church, whether it's Celebrate Recovery or Grief Share or your mom's group or your small group leaders. There's a rich, rich resource in the body of Christ who are willing to listen. There are people who are called to be like pretty good listeners, and they can't tackle the really complex cases, but there's a lot of stuff out there that is pretty basic. And if with a little bit of training, especially, by the way, some of the training would say, you know what, this is getting beyond me, I need to refer this upward. That level of awareness, but that willingness to step in, it really could absolutely transform the church, our witness to the world, and candidly, the culture. Because we now can provide a solution in the name of Jesus.
Shanti, I agree with you 100%. Maybe I'm going to add something here, not just a provider gap, but a knowledge gap. So what we're doing is bringing content or knowledge about what is anxiety? What are some of the antecedents here? What's fueling this in culture? What does anxiety look like? If you share biblical truth around anxiety, like Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, what does that really mean? And what's Paul sharing? And what are some of the beautiful pieces that you can bring to a conversation that could, by the way, help calm someone who maybe is in, let's just say, this continuum of anxiety, with a 0 to a 10, 10 being the worst. If somebody's at that 1 or 2 level, just speaking truth to them might be exactly just what they need. But ultimately, when we're talking about a prescriptive plan of finding meaning and life and newness, if you will, we find that in Christ. And so for me, it's a joy to call myself a Christian counselor, a Christian marriage and family therapist, because I want to bring that truth into this. Shanti, keep us going on the study. We're fighting time here real quick, but what's the hope? What's the goal? What's the effort all about?
The goal that we're hearing from so many pastors and church leaders is, okay, how can the church help be a solution to the mental health crisis? What is it that can be done and not done well, safely? Like, what is it that's consistent? with the gospel and with good kind of practice. And so one of the things that too long of a story to tell here, but this like miraculous thing happened where we were trying to figure this out and this major donor happened to like hear about it and ended up funding this pilot program called the Church Cares, which looks like it's now going to be expanding. And it's a very narrow focus that is we're hoping to help many, many tens of thousands of churches in this one area of helping them build up a team of lay listeners. This function, all of the resources we've got basics, not the same thing as like your mental health coaches, but like just basic resources and some technology behind it. And in order to be able to say, okay, if you are a church of 400 people in the Midwest and you say, yeah, we don't have a whole lot of Christian counselors around here and you have to drive an hour, yeah, I'd love to build up a team of 3, 4, 10 people in my church. That's what the Church Cares is working to help you do.
Years ago, Ashanti, Gary Collins and I would have many conversations about burden bearing. He called them people helpers, people who step into the lives of other people. I think God has no greater plan than to use people as his conduit through which he channels his message of help and hope to other people. And if we can do that even at the most basic, raw level, at the end of the day, we're bringing light into the darkness. Ashanti, I know we're out of time, but if people want to learn more about this, maybe how they can be praying and asking God for wisdom, direction, maybe they feel called by God to do something, to be salt and light, to step into the light. They love people around them. They see brokenness everywhere, and they want to be an answer. Where can they go?
Well, I'm going to just suggest that you go to thechurchcares.com and click on, there's a button that basically says, tell me more, right? And if you are a lay person, you can take this to your pastor and say, I feel led to help this. Because we do not want the pastor to be the one running this. No pastor has the time to like run an initiative like this. But if you have a volunteer who says, you know, I can spend 1 or 2 hours a week on helping to organize this, absolutely. Take this to your pastor and say, I'd like to do something with this. And just watch and see if God just clears out all the obstacles in front of you. This is his heart.
Ashanti, keep the research coming our way. We love what you do. I'll tell you what, it's exciting to see how God has taken that mind of yours, your heart, your passion, and has turned it into gold. I mean, in helping other people. No, really, it's such a gift to us all. Hey, on behalf of Zach, our entire team at the AACC, the American Association of Christian Counselors, and our audience here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.